Genesis 35. We didn't quite finish it. Look, go to verse 23. Last Sunday. Why don't we stand and read together just a few verses, beginning at 23. I'll start at 23, and it will go down to chapter 36, verse 1. Okay? The sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun. And the sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan and Naphtali.
And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad and Asher, these are the sons of Jacob, which were born of him
and Ephraim. And Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Help us to be intuitive enough and intelligent enough to read it and believe it and get some blessing from it. Give me a freedom and ease to teach that only you can give. And Lord, give blessing to all that hear. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. We've had the life of Jacob as he becomes Israel. Now that's a tremendous change. And that chapter there where the two of them get together is just beautiful to me. I can't help it, but it just, when Esau runs to him and weeps and hugs him and whatever, and has no hate in his heart for him. That's absolutely beautiful. And that would be a great thing for Isaac and Rebekah, that their sons would be whole again. Both of them are mature enough to say, I have enough. Most of us never say we have enough. But that's a very good statement to go to. You really do, probably most of the time. We have more than enough, especially us. If you've never lived outside the United States, you might not can visualize it. And if you just go on a visit, you still might not, but you live there. You go any place else in the world. Some of these people are griping about the government and say they want to leave and go someplace else, give them a ticket.
Amen.
Let them go. Man, I'm telling you, they don't know what they're doing. They're not thinking clearly for sure. At any rate, I was thinking of the ages here. We're looking at Jacob, and he's about 40, maybe 50. I don't know how long it took him to come with all of his family and all of his herds and stuff from Padan Aram to see Esau, and then to come to this place where he goes to his father's house. And but he's got to be 50, 40 or 50, somewhere in that range. Well, that makes Isaac about 105 or so, 110. And he's going to live to be 180. So what we're looking at here just recently is a period of 60-something years that takes place. Now, look at verse 23. The sons of Leah, remember he had four wives, two sisters that were free women, and then their maids. The sons of Leah, Reuben was Jacob's firstborn, Simeon and Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. Now, the one thing you need to notice about this, you noticed how Jacob married Leah. He got cheated. Laban really, really slipped it to him gently. Now, I don't know whether he was drunk or sleeping or I don't know what his problem was, how he did not recognize Leah. But at any rate, that's the way it happened. And he is dealt a dirty blow. Well, then he goes ahead and gets Rachel, and he has these two sisters as wives. But the thing I want you to notice is the sons of Leah, Judah. We're looking at Genesis. That starts Adam and his sons, down to Noah and his sons, down to Abraham and his sons, down to Jacob and his sons, then down to Moses and his sons, and then down to David. And then we get to the great king, and there's going to come Christ. That's the line of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's the important story that Genesis is trying to get across to you. What you're seeing is how God gradually chose out one after another and brought them down in the heritage to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the seed that blesses the whole world. Not everybody's in love with the Jews today, are they? There's a lot of fighting going on and a lot of problems over there, over the land and whatever. And God promised the land to them. The Bible is very clear on that. Now, the land people around, they don't necessarily believe the Bible and don't want to accept that part of it. But if that's the truth, that is their land. At any rate, when we think about the sons of Jacob, Judah is going to be the ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's the greatest blessing that's come in the world? Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is simple. I mean, who died for you? Are you saved? If you're saved, Jesus ought to be uppermost in your mind. It ought to be weekly. It ought to be daily. It ought to be moment by moment, hour by hour. You ought to be worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to be thanking God. Someone told me yesterday, I've said myself, I was spoiled. I was spoiled by my parents, and I was spoiled by my wife, and I was spoiled by the church, and spoiled by the Lord. And they told me, you're spoiled by your kids. And I am spoiled by my kids, too. So you're looking at a very spoiled man. One of the most blessed. I don't see anybody can have a better life than what I've had. And I'm 79. It's been a long life, too. Well, I am spoiled. And I'm blessed. And at 21, just about 21, just before I was 21, I got saved. And I surrendered to preach. Best blessings of my life. Best blessings of my life. How could I get a better blessing? Not only do I have grown kids that are my best friends, I have a church full of friends and very close friends. That's a blessing. And there's just a lot of people that don't have that. And I know people, their families are divided. I have met men, talked to men that have not talked to their brother in 50 years because of some incident. Like Jacob and Esau. I had a man come to me and his brother cheated him out of his inheritance, he thought. And he might have been true. It happens all the time. But you know, your family. And you ought to, if you haven't talked to your family, then you ought to get on the phone and talk to them.
Yes.
You say, well, it's their fault. They're all at fault. That's all right. You be bigger than that. I had a preacher friend, went to college with him, and we ended up with a doctrinal debate that got us a little bit crossways with each other. And he got mad and he quit communicating with me. And so I just decided, okay, what am I going to do about this? Because I've been an old friend, been one a long time. I sat down every month and wrote him a letter, whether he answered me or not. Well, after a few months, he answered. And we got to be friends again. And we were friends till the day he died. Now, I would say the same thing to you. Just like Jacob and Esau got together and they come back and they're close to their father, Isaac, I think you ought to think about your family. And I think that you ought to stay in contact with them. And especially with your kids. You got kids that they get all turned over in their head. And they get upset. And they're going to say some things that are stupid. Well, did you ever say anything stupid? I did. I said some pretty stupid things in my time. You know what? So what? Did Jesus Christ forgive you all your sins, past, present, and future? Oh, He did. He gave you eternal life. And you're not dead yet. You're not alive yet. Someone was asking me this week about where do we go when we die? Well, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, that's a beautiful verse. And then Paul gives you another one in Philippians chapter 1. He said, I would rather go to be with Christ, which is far better. How would you like that? Be present with the Lord, which is far better. Now, that's about all I can tell you about what your loved ones that have died and gone on are enjoying. God didn't tell us a whole lot about the things. I don't know a whole lot about a lot of that because it hasn't all happened yet. We've not been reunited with our body that was in the grave and made a spiritual body and whatever. So there's a lot of things I don't know. I do know that to be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. And Paul said, it is far better. Be far better. Far better with the Lord? Hey, I agree with that. And that's good enough for me. With my own imagination. The sons of Leah are Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, Simeon and Levi, and Judah, Issachar and Zebulun. Okay, now here's his favorite wife. This is the one that caught him at the start. Sons of Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin. And she died giving birth to Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Judah, Jacob, which were born to him in Padan Aram. Now, he's got, let's see. I had an idea, let's see. Missed it. I'll catch it later on anyway. How long did he live with his daddy then? Looked like he moved in close to him. And he comes to his father. Jacob came, verse 27, to Isaac his father unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron. Now these are different names from different languages. Different tribes call these different cities different names. It's the same way over there right now. And a lot of other places, they've got different names. We got some crazy names in Texas. We got a town called Dime, D-I-M-E, Dime Box, New Dime Box, little bitty towns out in the country, you know, something else. Well, he comes back to Hebron. Now, this is where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. All right, now, thinking about the ages, how old is Isaac at this time? We can't be exactly sure, but we know he was 60 when his twins were born. He's 80 when Jacob leaves. He's 100 when Jacob leaves Padan Aram and starts coming back. So he's 105, maybe 110, could be 115. They got to live together a long time. He got back there and they were both very, very rich. And so was Esau. What we saw before now, Esau's a rich man too. Now, can Isaac and Rebekah be blessed by this? I guess so. Both their sons are well off. Both their sons are leaders. And we're going to read here in just a minute about Esau's heritage. And then we'll leave him alone. Jacob came to Isaac his father unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, Hebron. And the days of Isaac were 104 years. That's 180 years. So they had about 70 years together, at least, back here after he's come back. And that's great. That's a lot of good time, good fellowship. And I don't know how they worked it with all of it, but Jacob's probably going to receive most of it. So might have been just put their heritage together. All right, so he's 104 score years. He lived to be 180 years old, and then he gave up the ghost. Now, who was I talking to? I was talking to somebody the other day, and they're 10 years older than me. I'm 79. I know I'm old. And they said, I'm not old. I was preaching, and I was probably in my 30s. And I had a little old lady. She was about 70. And she had a Buick, a stick shift Buick. I'm telling you, that's how old it was. It was 20, 25 years old. It didn't have about 4,000 miles on it. I wanted to buy that car so bad. I thought, man, I will run the wheels off of that thing. I will love that. I mean, it's never been used. It's new, you know. It went to the grocery store and the church, and I'm preaching, and I bring up an illustration. I say, this car was owned by a little old lady and only went to church. And I hurt her feelings. She said, I'm not old. Well, she sure seemed old to me. Well, that's the way it is. The days of Isaac, 180 years. Wow. And then Isaac gives up the ghost, okay? He died. Was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. They're still together. Here's 70 years down the line, Jacob and Esau get together for the funeral. Now, before this, we're going to find out in the next chapter, Esau had moved away. He went out to Mount Seir, and he became the father of the Edomites. And so he's a big man himself. He's a very powerful man. He's not poor by any means, doesn't have a bunch of tragedies in his life that we're told about or anything like that. So both these sons did well. It doesn't tell us when Rebekah died. And that's the way it is in most cases. Every once in a while, the Old Testament will tell you when a woman dies. But as we'll look here in just a few minutes, it sometimes even doesn't even tell you when they are born. So if you're an American, an American woman, you ought to thank God for the Bible, for Jesus Christ, and for the freedom you have. You just do not know how many women in the world today do not have anything close to your freedom. And that's a blessing for you. You were just born in the right spot. Esau and Jacob buried him, put them together, and I guess they had some good days. But we're looking at a period of about 60 years, 70 years. Could be. Whatever. Long, long time. Good life. Now, we go to chapter 36. Now, these are the generations of Esau. Now, we've seen this in Genesis all the way. Generation, 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 generation. These are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. So when you hear Edom in the Bible, you think about this is Esau's heritage. This is Esau's land. This is the area Esau controlled. He's a very, very powerful man back in his day. He might have been almost as powerful as Jacob was. Maybe more so. Who knows? All of these are very, very rich men. Okay, these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. Esau took his wives of the daughters of Canaan. And here's his two Canaanite wives. Ada, the daughter of Elon. Aholibamah, the daughter of Anath, the daughter of Zebon the Hivite. And Bashemeth, Ishmael's daughter. Now, as far as I know, these are his three wives. And when Esau left, he went and got him a wife from Ishmael. And Aholibamah, verse 5, bare Jeush and Jalam and Korah. These are the sons of Esau which were born unto him in the land of Canaan. And Esau took his wives and his sons and his daughters and all the persons of his house and his cattle and all his beasts and all his substance which he had got in the land of Canaan and went into the country from the face of his brother Jacob. For their riches were more than that they might dwell together. And the land wherein they were strangers could not bear them because of their cattle. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. All right. These are herdmen. I don't know where I was driving recently, but man, they had a good year for hay. If you go out there and look at some of the countries, they just got these great big round bales that might cost $175, just lined up. They're in row after row after row. They had a good year for hay. Well, now, I had my 20 acres I lived on for 20 years. But I had to buy hay. 20 acres will support about one cow for maybe a year if you have grass and whatever. Otherwise, you got to buy hay. And hay is not cheap sometimes. I've seen it cheap, but man, I've seen it where it was so expensive you just hated to go spend the money on it. But hey, I don't know whether these guys had hay or not. I don't remember anything that it says about their having big farms or doing farming or raising hay for their cattle. They were just grazing. They had to move them like David with the sheep, you know. You pull them in this one field, and when it's sort of grazed off, you got to take all that herd and move them over to another field until it's grazed off. And so you have to have enough open land that you can move around. Well, here you got three very rich men, Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. All of them are rich, and by that they have herds and herdmen. They've got people depending on them. You remember Abraham? He had 318 trained soldiers. Hey, that's an expense. Think about that for a minute. You can't afford one. Isn't that right? You might like to have the protection of your personal soldier, but you couldn't afford one. He had 318. He's a rich man. So that means they're going to take up a lot of land and a lot of territory just to feed their animals. And when their animals have eaten up and been fed off of a field, the next guy can't come in and just go down right behind you. There's nothing there. You got to wait till it grows up a little bit. So I don't know how much of hay producing they did in those days. And in my reading of the Bible, I don't remember, it could be there, but I don't remember my noticing it. And so what's Esau say? Man, we're too crowded. Remember what happened to Lot? Lot and Abraham. Lot got rich by hanging around Abraham. You get with a man blessed of God and you follow his ways and do things the way he's done it, but he just might be a blessing to you. And that's what Lot did. He got with Abraham, and Abraham was blessed of God. Isaac is blessed of God. And then we come down, Jacob, his son, is blessed of God. And Esau looks like he's got a lot of blessings too in his personal life. At any rate, their riches were more than that they might dwell together, and the land wherein they were strangers could not bear them because of their cattle. Now that just makes common sense. They could not live really close together because they were too big. They were just too rich. And so it says that Esau went to Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. Now, this next chapter, and I'm going to go over it slightly. We're not really interested in Esau. No great spiritual thing is going to come out of Esau. Nothing that really applies to the Bible is going to come out of Esau. He's rich. He's blessed. No doubt he had a good life. He had a bunch of sons. And they became dukes and kings, and that's what I want you to notice in this chapter. So he's not a poor boy. He's not off living off the, you know, hands out of somebody else. He is a rich man. And imagine having 400 men to ride with you to meet your brother. Could you get 400 right now? I'd have a hard time having a party if I was giving away free barbecue to get 400 men to come meet Billy. They wouldn't come to meet Billy anyway, would they? You know, he's a big man, so he's very successful. He has a wonderful life, I have no doubt. And he comes down there and buries his father with Jacob. And I think that's great. And they did it right. But now, here we go, verse 9 of 36, chapter 36. These are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites in Mount Seir. Okay, that pretty well tells you a whole lot about him. These are the generations. He's the father of the Edomites in Mount Seir. Now then, he lists the names. I'm not going to read all the names. And this really because he lists the names of his, just like he listed the children of Jacob in the chapter before. Now it lists the children of Esau in chapter 36. And it lists each wife and her children. And then look down at verse 15. Chapter 36, verse 15. These were the dukes of the sons of Esau. Now, you know what a duke is. Now, remember, this Bible that we're using, that we have as our authority, was translated in England. The English government has dukes, and they have kings. And so here, what we have, these were the dukes of the sons of Esau. Then begins to list them. Now, I looked it up in a college dictionary, a Webster College Dictionary. A duke is a sovereign male ruler, a nobleman of the highest hereditary rank. These are the direct descendants of Esau. They're made dukes because they're descendants of the man that was the boss of the whole thing. Now, a king. Let's see. Look at verse 19. These are the sons of Esau, who is Edom, and these are their dukes. Now it lists the sons of Esau that have got the rank of duke in the land where they're going. Now look at verse 31. These are the kings that reigned in the land of Edom before there reigned any king over the children of Israel. All right? They descend into dukes, and a king, of course, is a male monarch of a major territorial unit, rules for life, generally. That's kings. So what came out of Esau? Dukes and kings. That's pretty big. And he's the progenitor of it all. He probably set it up all. And so he had a very good life. And he names them all for you. And then in verse 43, Duke Magdiel, Duke Iram, these be the dukes of Edom according to their habitations in the land of their possession. He is Esau, the father of the Edomites. So Esau had a great heritage. He had a great family. They were wealthy. They were powerful. They were successful. And they spread on down the line. And Esau, the father of the Edomites. He's Edom. Now, verse 40, did I read verse 40 to you? And the names of the dukes that came of Esau according to their families, after their places, by their names. And he lists these dukes and whatever. So what we have as this family is progressing down, the generations coming in are being passed on this heritage of being a progenitor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he comes all the way down. And so he's very, very, very powerful. And He was the father of the Edomites. Okay. Now look at chapter 37. I'm going to read these 11 verses. Just read them aloud, okay? And Joseph dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet even more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. And behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Now again here, they're doing some farming, not quite like our hay operation, but they've got the sheaves. They bring them together and tie them up, and they're in sort of a stand-up little teepee, something like that, all over the field. So they did have some feed for their animals that they raised in a farming way. Now, Joseph being 17 years old at this time, Joseph brought unto his father the evil report. Now, Joseph was a good guy. He's one of the wonderful people that you meet in the Bible. One of the best that you're going to find. But he had a little problem. And of course his dad caused it. Had a little problem. He told on it. He snitched on his brothers. That doesn't go over real well, does it? Now it might be good for the parents. They get to know what's going on. But it doesn't make you a good brother to the other brothers or a good sister to the other sisters. So that's one count against him. Now, he has a beautiful coat. The Bible calls it a coat of many colors. None of the other sons had a coat like that. But Jacob bought for Joseph a coat of many colors. You could see him coming from a long way off. He was bright and shining. They hated him for that. And he was a dreamer. I don't know how good a worker he was. It looks like in his life that he was a very honest, upright person and one that could handle anything you put him at to. Everything he goes into, he does well in it. He's blessed of God that way. But he is his father's messenger. Now, his father didn't send him out with the herdmen. All the other sons are out with the herdmen. They're working. They got there taking care of the animals. They're away from home. Joseph is still home. And so when his dad wants to know how things are going, he says, "Joseph, go out there and find out how things are going." Well, he goes out, and his brothers, I don't know what they were doing wrong. You know, I don't know where they were sleeping during the day, goofing off, gambling, chasing. I have no idea what evil report he brought. But when he came back home, every time, he'd tell on them. And that did not make them love him either. But, of course, it made his daddy love him and care for him and I don't know. Eddie and Billy would not squeal on each other. I could beat the tar out of them, but they didn't turn their brother in. And I sort of, and maybe I'm wrong, you know, but I sort of respected that. I sort of respected that. They just kept their mouth shut and took what punishment either one of them got. And anyway, I never did like a snitch either. Now, that is a problem because the snitch is telling the truth, probably. You understand what I'm saying? You got a problem raising a family. You got a problem with doing a lot of things. Well, you want to know, who did this? Who do I punish? Who do I restrict? Whatever. But at any rate, no, I won't say nobody, but a lot of people really have a problem with a snitch. Now, Joseph would tell on his brothers. And, of course, he's being faithful to his dad. And I'm sure that was right, because just about everything in Joseph's life is right. Anyway, he was his father's messenger, and he would tell on them and bring their evil report back to dad. So when dad meets them, they're going to catch it because Joseph told on them. Now, it says when his brethren saw their father loved him more than all, when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. Now, I'll tell you the truth right now. Right now, you want to cause a real problem in your house. You got 2, 3, 4 kids, 5, 6 kids, and you got one's your favorite, and you show it all the time. You just caused a bunch of problems. You just caused a bunch of problems. Now, throughout the Bible, we see how favoritism has caused many, many problems already in our study of Genesis. Here we have it again. And you talk about some sorrow. There's going to be some sorrow because of this. And their brethren couldn't stand it because their daddy loved Joseph more than he loved them. Now, kids are always trying to decide who's the best, who's the sweetest, who's the most loved, who's the favorite. Well, what you better do is not have a favorite, or you better keep your mouth shut and keep your actions to where you don't show it. You need to show fairness to all of them. Now, that's a hard thing to do sometimes. And you have a lot of problem doing it, but let me tell you what, it's worth doing. You show the fairness to your kids. And they know, hey, Dad's for me. I know. My sister felt the same way I did. My folks were for us. And I don't know what she was the favorite or I was the favorite. We were both spoiled. We were both loved. We were both accepted all the way throughout our lives until they died. And that's a great feeling. You know, it's a great feeling to know I can go home. And even if I've done wrong, I can go home and I'm going to be accepted because I'm loved. What you need to do is learn to show love. And show it to all your family. As some of you men need to learn to show love to your wife. Really do. A lot of marriages, one of the problems is somebody's not showing love. They may have love, but they're not showing it. And some people aren't just, they're just not loving. Some of you wives need to love your husbands. Love them and care for them. Lift them up. Magnify them. Do your best to support them. Love needs to be shown. Now, I don't know but what Jacob loved all of his sons. He just had a favorite, and it made them think less of themselves because of the way he did it. So, he goes out there and he tells them his dreams. And it says they hated him the more. Well, here's this one of the younger sons of Jacob. And he starts telling about we were cutting hay, putting it up into sheaves, in the field, and all of a sudden my sheep just stood up. And all your sheep bowed down to me. Hey, would you like to hear that from your brothers? And to me, it's very funny. I'm sorry. How would you not be hated? How in the world could you tell those dreams to your brothers and not be hated by them? You smart aleck. You kid, you think you're better than all of us? All of us are older than you. We do more work than you do. And you're coming in here and saying we're going to bow down to you? Then you got another dream. And in this dream, his mother and father bow down to him. Not only all the brothers, but the mother and father. What? They all got upset about his dreams. But the Bible tells us that Jacob paid attention. Not only was the upset, yeah, and you know the thing, the way it went, but he was saying, wait a minute, what's happening, you know? He has a spiritual mind, remember. And he got a change at 40. He became a spiritual man with power with God. His name is Israel, and power with men. He's a very powerful man after this time. Better not mess with him. God just might come in on his side. Now, here's his own son, and one of the dreams he's dreaming is that all of his brothers and his mother and father are going to bow down before him. You ever have good dreams like that? How many of you dream? Now, that's a bunch. Okay. How many of you never dream? All right. Verlene was that way. She just never dreamed. If she dreamed, she never remembered it. I dream. I had a dream one time when I was a kid about a pink rabbit. About 9 foot tall. And he kept throwing me off of this cliff. And I would say, no, I can't die. And I would scramble just like the cartoons and crawl back up on top of the cliff. That was in my dream. And I dreamed it over and over for several years. Now, if you want to psychologize me, go ahead. Do you know what? Old Joseph dreamed a dream that God gave him. And he dreamed another dream that God gave him. And, of course, he wants to speak. He wants to tell it. But when he tells his story, it makes them hate him all the more. But did those two dreams come true? They sure did. We're going to read the rest of Genesis is about Jacob and Joseph and so on and so forth. Great stories. And wow, what he did. Well, at any rate, that makes it pretty bad. So from about verse 8, they begin to conspire against Joseph. His brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? Well, we don't like that idea, but it's going to happen. That's what it's going to happen. Joseph is going to reign over them and over the whole country of Egypt. Only one man over him, and that was the Pharaoh. Wow. You talk about going to power. He got himself in power. So you little brothers, you're going to go bow down to him listen to him, and he'll reign over you. He can have you under his complete control. Now, they conspired. They were going to kill him. They thought about killing him. Now, that's pretty bad. That's a lot of hate. I've been mad at a few people, and I guess there's a few I might have killed. But I never thought about killing people. I thought about beating them up. I thought about making them pay, paying them back. You ever tried to pay somebody back? Well, sometimes you get yourself in real trouble. Well, these brothers, they are so tired of this favorite son. They're not thinking of their dad. They're not thinking about his happiness. They're not thinking about this being the son of the wife, the favorite wife that died. They're not thinking about a lot of things. And, of course, they're certainly not thinking about God's will. See, God's will's in this, too. So what if God raises one up above the other 11, if it's His will? We gotta think sometimes. Sometimes when bad things happen to us, tragedies happen to us, we don't realize it's God's will. We need to suffer some things to be brought into a closer relationship with God. Now, these guys, sometimes, even through the rest of the story, sometimes they don't see it. They're not spiritual enough to see that God has protected them and saved them and preserved them as a family all the way down into Egypt. And Joseph was the instrument of doing that. So sometimes we get mad, we get all upset because something happens to us. And maybe, just maybe, peradventure, it's the will of God. And God needs to do something to get you ready. So what they do, they decide to kill him. Well, now Reuben delivers him. He said, let's just put him in a pit right here. There's no water in it. And we'll talk about it later. Reuben goes off and does his work. When he comes back, they've sold him. And then Reuben is thinking, I'm already in trouble. He's committed adultery with one of his father's wives. And that hurt him in the rest of his life. Jacob got back at him. He wasn't the head of the tribes as he ought to have been. He was the oldest. But I tell you what, he did not want to have this upon his conscience. So Reuben was against the other brothers. And he thought he was going to deliver him. And they sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. Look at verse 23. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they looked up their eyes and looked. And a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicing, balm, and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Let us sell him unto the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. We're not going to kill him, but we're going to sell him, because he's our brother. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen. And they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. Then it says, Reuben returned. I really don't have time to go further on this. We'll stop right here and just make a comment or two. Some people think there's a problem because of the Ishmaelites and then the Midianites. Well, the Ishmaelites could have come through, and then after they'd gone, they got the idea of selling him. And then the Midianites came through and got him, and they sold him into Egypt. And so when Reuben returned under the pit, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. He's sick, and I don't blame him. You know, you might really get mad at your brother or your sister. You might get mad at somebody in your family, and maybe they've done you wrong, but they are family. You ought to value family. You ought to work to keep your family together. Now, sometimes that costs you giving up a little of your pride. Sometimes it's going to cost you. Some people aren't reasonable. Maybe your mother and father aren't reasonable in some ways. Maybe they're like Jacob, and they have a favorite son, and they show it. Well, forgive them. How about that? How about forgive them because they're family? And then think about yourself. You ever make mistakes? You ever do the wrong thing? Do you ever show favoritism? Sure you do. We do. We're all made pretty much of the same cloth. And we just have a problem. Now, what is being set up here is the deliverance of Israel. It's been set up a long time before they ever get there. And God is taking care of it. And one man, Joseph, is going to suffer 13 years of misuse. Starting with his brothers, beating him up, throwing him down in a hole, taking his coat off of him, and then selling him into slavery. And then the various tragedies we're going to see as we go through the life of Joseph. Wonderful, wonderful character, wonderful life. And the Lord bless you.